Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's May the 2nd. We are in Malachim Beis, so in Perek Yud Tes. This evening we're going to read a lot, I think. We'll try to finish up a lot of the basics in the psukim of the real showdown between Sancheriv and Chizkiyahu. As I keep telling you, there's a lot of storylines that go on over here. We'll do some reading this evening. It's going to appear, if we finish the parak tonight, it'll appear like we've completed most of the story. But rest assured, we are only scratching the surface, and we have at least five or six storylines that have to be, that each need a class to themselves, and then something to bring them all together. So we have still a lot to do. We're in Perek Yud Tes, we're in Pasuk Yud. Mm-hmm. In Pasuk Tes, we had that even though Sancheriv had to leave Yerushalayim, Rav Shake had to leave Yerushalayim because they got involved in another couple of wars, but there's a message being sent back to Chizkiyahu that don't think that you're off the hook. We're going to be back. So Pasuk Yud says, Ko somun al Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda lemar, so you should say to Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, saying, Al yashiyacho elokecha, don't let your God turn you or deceive you. Asha taboteach bo, you are relying on him. Lemar saying, Lo sina sin Yushalayim b'yad melech Ashur, that Yushalayim will not be given over to the king of Ashur. Don't believe it. Hineata shamata, you behold, you heard, Esa Shaasu Malche Ashur Lachoho Aratzos Laharimam, what the kings of Ashur did to all of the lands to destroy them. Viatoti Natsel, and you think you'll be saved? Ahid Silu Osam Eloheya Goim Ashur Shichasu Avosai. Did the gods of those nations, did they save them? That they were destroyed by my ancestors, by my predecessors, es gozon ves charon veretzef uvnei eden asher bis lashar. Those are different places. They were all captured by the predecessors of Sancheriv. Ayom melech Hamas umelech Arpad. Where's the king of Hamas? Where's the king of Arpad? Umelech lo'ir sifarvoyim, and the king of the city of Sifarvoyim. Hina ve Iva, they have been removed, they've been pushed away. So he sent this message to Chizkiyahu, and it was a printed message. He had written the message out, and it was given to Chizkiyahu in a scroll. Vayika Chizkiyahu esasfarim yana malachim. So Chizkiyahu took those scrolls from the messengers, vayikraim, and he tore them up. Vayabes Hashem, and he went up to the house of Hashem. Vayifreseu Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem, and he spread out these pieces in front of Hashem.
Excuse me, Rabbi Prince, Vayikraim is an interim, or he read them?
I'm sorry, you are correct, and I am wrong. That would be with an ayin. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, it means he read them. That's correct. He read them, and then he brought them up to the Beis HaMikdash, and he spread them out. Now, it says he spread it out, because I don't think he brought all the scrolls with him. Yeah, he brought one of the scrolls with him, the Radak says, and that he spread it out. Now, these scrolls, as we've mentioned before, the fact that there is a comparison made between Hashem and Avodah Zarah and other religions which are all lies, so that is a bizayon, that is degrading to Hashem. And it is akin to actually cursing Hashem. So Chizkiyahu is very distraught, and he takes one of the scrolls to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayispalel Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem, vayomar Chizkiyahu, damn in front of Hashem, and he said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Yoshiva Kruvim, Hashem the God of Yisrael, the one who sits above the Kruvim. Atahu Elokim Levadacha, you are the only God. L'chomam L'chos Haaretz, to all the kings of the land. Atas Yisrael Hashem Ames Haaretz, you made the heavens and the earth. Hatei Hashem Azdecha Ushema turn your ear and listen. Pekach Hashem Einachu Rei, open your eyes and see. Ushmais Divrei Sancheriv Asher Shalachol Lecharef Elohim Chayim, and listen to the words of Sancheriv that he sent, this message to degrade the living God. Omnam Hashem Hecherivu Malchi Ashur Esagoyim Vesaretzam. It is true, Hashem, that the kings of Ashur have destroyed all the nations and their lands. Vinasnues Elohim Ba'esh, and they burned down their gods. Ki lo Elohim Hema, for they are not really gods. Ki Masayide Adam, they are made by the hand of man. Eitz Va'evin, their wood and their stone. Vayabdumi, they destroyed them. Viata Hashem Elohim, and now Hashem Argado, Shienu Namiado, save us now from his hand. Let all the kings of the land know. Ki ata Hashem Elokim levadecha, you are Hashem, God alone. So he davens to Hashem that Hashem should not stand for this dreadful comparison between their lies and Hashem. So that's the davening that Chizkiyahu did when he received these messages, this scroll. So Yeshayahu then sent a message to Chizkiyahu saying, Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, the God of Israel, Asher Yispalal to Eli, that which you davened before me, El Sancheriv Melech Ashur, regarding Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, Shamati, I have listened. Zehad Dover Asher Dibar Hashem Alav, this is what Hashem has said about Sancheriv. Bazalacha, La'agalacha, Besulas Bas Tzion. The Bas Tzion, meaning the Jews, they will degrade you. They will, another word for degrade, they will despise you. Okay. Acharecha Rosh Heinia Bas Yerushalayim. After you, she has, the daughter of Yerushalayim has shaken her head, which means in a disparaging way. Esmichei Rafta V'Gidafta, who did you degrade and put down? V'almi harimosa kol, and about whom have you lifted your voice? V'atisam arom einecha al kadosh Yisrael, and you've lifted up your eyes above on the sanctity of Yisrael. B'yad malachecha chei rafto Hashem, in the hands of your messengers you have degraded Hashem. V'atomer, and you said, rov richbi, with my many chariots, ani alisi mirom harim yarkesei levanon, I have come up to the highest of mountains, to the height of the levanon. This is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Ve'achros komas arazav mivachor beroshav, and I will cut down its mighty or tall cedar and its chosen brosh is another type of wood. Vavo Malone Kitso Yar Carmelo, and I've come to, these are poetic words referring to the seat of power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, the place of his control. Ani Karti, anybody want to translate those? Malone Kitso Yar Carmelo? What do you have over there?
An ancient forest of his Carmel.
Yeah, that's okay.
I went into the furthest lodges.
Okay. Anikarti Vishasisi Mayim Zarim. This is a quote for what Sancheriv is saying. I have dug and drank the waters of foreigners. V'achariv b'chaf pe'amai kol yore matzor, and I have destroyed with the soles of my feet all the rivers of those cities that I have laid siege to. Sancheriv is saying, I brought such huge armies, and they would dig around the areas that I came to conquer and find water, and I would essentially steal the water, take away the water from these other places, because we would dig and find the water and take it away. And by simply showing up and crossing different rivers, we would dry up those rivers, both by drinking and by just walking through it, we'd ruin the water sources for all of the cities that we have laid siege to. Halo shamata lemerachok osa asisi. So Hashem says to Sancheriv, haven't you heard from afar? This is what I have done. Meaning, the Nevi'im have already talked about this. Lemimei kedem, from days of long ago. Vitzartiha, and I arranged it. Ata havisiha, now I have brought it. Usihi lashos galim nitzim arim bitsuros. The Navi is saying over here that Hashem says, I already had my Nevi'im talk about this. In other places it says how the nations of the world will be conquered by Ashur. This isn't your doing. This is prophecy of mine coming true. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your strength. And you, your arriving on the scene was Lashos Galim Nitzim, was to destroy these cities, or these fortified Arim Bitzuros, these fortified cities, to make destroyed and into flat fields these Arim Bitzuros, these fortified cities.
Wait. So when you say Sanherib said all these things,
no. This is Hashem's. No. Hashem's response here. 25. Chavei's response of Hashem to what Sanherib was saying before that.
But I thought it was Rav Sheka who had said it in the scrolls, or is it Sanherib who said it in the scrolls?
Sanherib sent the scrolls.
Okay, so it wasn't Rav Sheka.
No. V'yoshvein kitzrei yad. Those who dwell in the cities that you conquered, they are weak. It's not your strength. Hashem made them weak because I made these prophecies that they were going to be given over into the hands of Ashur. Chatu v'yevoshu. They were cut down and they were ashamed. They were like grass of the field and like vegetation of the, again, of the fields. Chatsir gagos, like the growth that you find on the tops of roofs. Ushdefa leaf, it's like moss. Ushdefa leaf nekama, and like a blight that comes against the standing grain. So, in other words, you had nothing to do with this. This was all my doing, says Hashem. Your dwelling, your coming out, your coming in, I know all of that. I know all about your planning your wars and your arranging of your armies. And I also knew about your rebellion against me. Yan hisragezcha elai, because you have rebelled against me. V'sha'anoncha alav aznai, and your sharp words have come up in my ears. So what am I going to do to you? V'samti chachi be'apecha, I'm going to put a collar around your face, your neck. U'miski bisfasecha, and a ring in your nose. Vashivosicha, or in your lips. Vashivosicha baderech asher basava, and I'm going to return you on the road that you came. It's very descriptive. I'm going to treat you like an animal. I'm going to put a collar around your neck. I'm going to put a ring in your lips, and I'm going to drag you back to Ashur. So this is the response that Yeshayahu is telling Chizkiyahu that Hashem has for Sancheirib. Sancheirib is not hearing this. This is Yeshayahu the Navi telling Chizkiyahu that his tefillah has been answered, and that Hashem is saying to Sancheirib, you think you're the one doing all of this? You're nothing. This is all because of me, and I'm going to drag you back to Ashur, kicking and screaming. Yeah.
Was Hezekiah's
tefillah,
was it respectful enough? And what does it mean, Hashem who dwells atop the
Kubim? That's a common phrase for Hashem.
That is a common phrase.
Yeah, because that's where Hashem's, that's where the when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, came through the Kubim.
Okay, so, that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
I wondered, like,
Yoshiva Kruvim is a
cup. Is this a tefillah with precedent? This tefillah?
Yes, yeah, he's drawing from other sources. Yeah, but I mean, this is a proper tefillah of Chizkiyahu.
It is a proper tefillah.
Yeah, we're going to find other tefillahs that Chizkiyahu says. He's known for his davening.
Okay.
Yeah, as we'll see. Now, here we have a very important pasuk, and the presentation informs something in Chumash. Yeshayahu continues, "Vizelach haos." This, the defeat of Sancheirib being dragged back to Ashur, will be for you, Chizkiyahu, a sign. for the following. Meaning, when you see that happen, when you see Sancheriv being dragged back to Ashur, then you will know the following will happen after that. That will trigger the following. First of all, Achol Hashana Safiach. This year, you will eat Safiach. The problem is that Sancheriv destroyed, as he mentions, all the waterways, all the vegetation, anything that grew. The problem is that even if they would beat off Sancheriv's army, there's nothing to eat anymore. The land has been ravaged. So So Hashem says, this year you will eat Safiach. For those of you who are in the Sunday night class, Safiach means wild growing things, things that you didn't plant, things that grow in the Shemitah year. It's called Safiach. So this year, the things that grow wild that you don't plant, that will be sufficient to feed the Jewish people. You won't need to cultivate lands. It's too late anyway in the season. Everything will grow on its own. That's the first year. Uvashana Shainis, the next year, Sachish, you will live off of Sachish. Sachish is the trees that are already in place will produce bumper crops. You'll be able to eat off of the trees. Again, you won't need to have cultivated crops. Uvashana Shlishis, and in the third year, Ziru, Vikitsu, Vinitu, Chrama, Vichlu, Piriam. Then you will sow and you will harvest and you'll plant vineyards and you'll eat from their fruits. Then things will go back to normal and you'll be able to eat from crops that you will grow. So the fact that Sancheriv will be driven off will also be a sign to you that you will then have the following happen. In the Chumash, there is a cryptic pasuk in Shmos, and Rashi there references these psukim in Chizkiyahu in Malachim to explain how to read the pasuk. Rashi has two explanations, but this is the second explanation Rashi says in Shmos when Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll give you the address. It's in Perek Gimel, chapter 3, and it's Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12 in Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu had said, "Who am I to go to Paro, and will you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim? And will I be able to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim?" So Hashem says, it's Gimel, yeah. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. So Moshe says, Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayom Hashem says, Ki ayeh imach, for I will be with you. That's how you'll get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Vizeh lecha ha'os, and this is your sign, Ki anochi shalachticha, that I have sent you, Bo'otziacha esam Mitzrayim, when you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, Tavdunas ha'elokim al ha'har hazeh, you will serve Hashem on this mountain. They were on the burning bushes on Har Sinai. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, getting out of Egypt is an os, is a sign for the next thing that will happen, which is you will serve Hashem on this mountain, you'll receive the Torah. So that getting out of Egypt is an os. When you see that happen, you will know that the next step is to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. So Rashi over here in Shmos references the psukim here as the same kind of idea. Vizelecha ha'os means when the first thing happens, that will be your sign to look forward to the second thing. In Malachim it means when you see Sancheriv being driven out, that'll be your sign to look forward to the growth of the wild crops. And in Shmos, getting out of Mitzrayim will be your sign to look forward to the receiving of the Torah. Very appropriate, really, for this time of year. But that is the Vizelechahos. That phrase, that's what it means. That's what Rashi explains it both here and in Parsha Shmos. The Pesukim and Melachim continue. Pasuk Lamed. V'yasfa pleitas beis Yehuda hanishara shoresh lamata. And it will gather the remnants of Yehuda that will be left. They will gather roots down below, v'asafri lamala, and they will flower, produce fruit above, which means the Jews will flourish. Kim Yerushalayim teitzei she'iris ufleita mehar tzion, for from Yerushalayim will come the remnant and those that are left from the land of Tzion. Kinas Hashem el tzvakos ta'asezos. The kina, which literally means the jealousy. What's that? Jealousy. Yeah, it could mean jealousy, but in this case it really means the zealousness, I guess, of Hashem will do this. Hashem says, I'm not doing this because you Jews deserve this. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because of how he has degraded my name, and I'm doing this because of my great name. This is actually a wonderful thing for us, because since Hashem has tied himself to us, even when we don't deserve something, often we are protected and helped, because anything that happens to us is, if we are degraded, God forbid, then that is a degrading of Hashem himself. Not literally, but it degrades his name in this world. So sometimes Hashem steps in because it is not acceptable that Hashem's name be degraded. Lame Beis, Lachain, therefore, Ko'amar Hashem, El Melech Ashur, so says Hashem to the king of Ashur, Lo Yavo Elo Yerazos, you will not come to this city. V'lo Yorasham Chetz, there will be no arrow shot into this city. V'lo Yikad Menam Again, and no shield will come forth. And no ground will be poured upon it. When they wanted to get above a siege, when there's a walled city, so what the sieging army would do is they would build up the ground around the walls, constantly adding more and more dirt so that it became a slope and they could actually go up against the wall. So that is not going to happen over here. Baderach HaShayavo Ba Yashuv. In the Baderach HaShayavo, in the way that he comes, Ba Yashuv, that's where he will return. V'lahira Zos Lo Yavonu Hashem, to this city he will not come, so says Hashem. V'ganosi El Ha'ir HaZos Lo Hoshia, and I will shield this city to save it. L'mani, for my sake, Uleman David Avdi, and for the sake of David, my servant. There, that comes out of nowhere. For the sake of David, Hashem says, I will protect this city. That is an important phrase, which we will come back to, although I cannot tell you when that will be. But, Blinetta, we are going to come back to that pasuk. Vayhi balayla, who was that night? What night is this? It is the night of Pesach. We read about it. We read about it in Nirtza. This is one of the things we say in Nirtza and the Seder. Vayetze Malach Hashem, and the angel Hashem came out. That is, says the Malach Gavriel. Vayach b'machane Ashur, and he struck against the army of Ashur. Mea shmonim machamishim olaf, 185,000 officers. That's 185,000 officers, let alone soldiers. Vayashkimu v'aboger, they woke up early in the morning. V'nechulam pegarim mesim, and behold, they were all corpses dead. The entire army of Sancheir, we're talking about millions of people, were just dead. In a second, they all died. Boom, they're all dead, with the exception of... Well, we'll talk about that, right? We talked about it before, but there are no less than five, according to one count in the Gemara, according to another count in the Gemara, I believe there were 9, 10 left over, but very, very few remained. So he traveled and went, and the king of Ashur, Sancheriv, he returned to Ashur, and he went to Nineveh, which is the capital of Ashur. And he was bowing in the house of Nisroch, his god. Adramelech and Sharetzer, his sons, struck him by the sword, and they killed him. Vehema nimlatu eretz Ararat, they ran away to the land of Ararat. Vayimloch Esar Chadon bino Tachtav, and his son Esar Chadon ruled in his stead. Just to whet your appetite, we are not ready to speak about this tonight. However, what is Beis Nisroch Elohav? What is Beis Nisroch? Beis Nisroch, it comes from the word Neser. Neser means a plank or a board. This was a plank from the Teva of Noach. And Sancheirev made it into a god. And he bowed to it. And he said to the plank of the Teva of Noach, if you save me, because Sancheirev was very scared that he would be attacked by all of the kings of all the other nations that he had conquered, and now did not have the power to hold them down, and had taken all of their best soldiers, including their own children, into his army. His vast army was made up of the princes and the heirs apparent of all the thrones all over the world. That's what his army was made of. Those 185,000 officers, the top officers, were the children and closest members of the court of all of the other kings. They were now all dead, and Sanherib was worried that he would be attacked by those other kings. And he says to the plank of the Teva of Noach, if you save me from them, I will offer my two sons to you as karbanos. The two sons heard this. They said, I don't think so. And they killed their father and ran to Ararat, which is happens to be where the Teva of Noach grounded was, Al Hare Ararat, on the mountains of Ararat. Clearly, we have a connection here, which cannot be ignored, between the Teva of Noach and Sancheirev and the mountains of Ararat. Where is the other reference to the Teva of Noach in a story that takes place in Tanakh? The Medrash says, where on earth could Haman find a piece of wood that was 50 amos tall?
Right.
Where does that come from? That's a very, very, very long piece of wood. The Medrash says he got it from the Teva of Noach. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to connect these things, but not this evening. That's just to get you interested. I want to make sure you come back for future classes. Okay. The king of Ashur, Sancheirev, at this point, when he comes to Yerushalayim, has conquered the entire known world, with the exception of Yerushalayim. It's the one place he has not conquered. And he wants to, and he's about to, and then this incredible nace happens. The Gemara tells us that 185,000 officers, each one, as we mentioned the numbers before, had a minimum of 2,000 soldiers that they were in charge of. So you do the math, we were well over a million people. Several million people. That number of that army, which came against Chizkiyahu, is the same number of the army of the four kings that Avraham Avinu fought with and destroyed on the night of Pesach. The night of that Avraham fought with the four kings in Lech Lecha. The Pasuk says over there, I will read it to you in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Pasuk says, in Bereishis, Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14, in Pasuk Tesvav 15, it says, Vayechalek Alehem Laila, Hu V'Avadav Vayakim. And he split up against them at night, he and his servants, and he struck them down. Vayechalek means that he split up, meaning he and his servants. One pshat is, in the Medrash, there was only one servant. It was Eliezer. He and Eliezer, together, they split up in chasing down the members of the army of the four kings. However, another explanation for the word vayechalek, and he split, or it split, Lila, the evening, Rashi tells us, Umedrish Agada Shenechla Kalaila. It was the night that was split. Uvechatsio Harisho Nasalo Nes. The first half of the evening was a nace for Avram Avinu in destroying the four kings. Vechatsio Hasheni in the second half of the night. Nishmar Ubalo Lechatsos Laila Shel Mitzrayim. Was preserved and saved for Avram Avinu, for his children, for the half the night, the midway point of the night of Mitzrayim. That we Jews were saved, we were led out of Egypt, with Makas Bechoros, the night of Egypt. That the night was split in half, the first half of the night was given to Avram Avinu, the second half of the night was given to us Jews when we left Mitzrayim. this battle that takes place between Avram and the four kings, that amount, that army, is the same size army that is brought against Chizkiyahu by Sanherib. And the Gemara says, there is one more time in history where there is a war where 185,000 officers of many, many more soldiers than that coming against a very small group of Jewish people, and that is the war of Gog Umagog in the future that will herald the coming of Mashiach. At least, if we understand it correctly, we don't really know the sequence of events in the future, but somehow there is a Milchemes Gog Umagog. You know the famous Medrash, we mentioned it before, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted to make Sanherib, to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, and to make Sanherib the war of Gog Umagog. The trappings were there. The setup was ready for Mashiach to come, and unfortunately it didn't happen. We have to explain that. We have to get to that. It's another theme that needs to be covered, is the fact that it did not happen, that Mashiach didn't happen. However, from this story, we understand, at least conceptually, what the coming of Mashiach is all about. Because this story, we were on the cusp of Mashiach. And even though it didn't happen, it gives us insight into what the whole concept of the coming of Mashiach is, to Gesund, and how it's supposed to work. It does not tell us details of how it's going to happen. We don't know that. No one knows that. No one's going to know until it actually happens. But it does give us a picture, a broad picture, of what the idea of Mashiach is and what this war of Gog Umagog is. The war of Gog Umagog is described in Sefer Yechezkel. Those of you who have been in this shir for the past 12 years may recall the discussion of Milchemes Gog Umagog, the war of Gog Umagog. There is a mistake people make with that phrase Gog Umagog. Gog is a person, Magog is a place. It's Gog Me'eretz HaMagog. It's Gog from Magog. It's called Milchemes Gog Umagog, but it means Gog from Magog. And in the way Yechezkel describes it, Gog is going to come against Jerusalem with a massive, massive army that has been gathered from all the nations of the world coming against Jerusalem. Very, very similar to what happens here with Sanherib coming against Chizkiyahu in Jerusalem. The downfall of Sanherib is due to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is the Zelu Umazeh. He is the force against Sanherib. Sanherib is the evil. Chizkiyahu is the Tzidkus, is the righteousness. There's the clash between the two. And of course, Chizkiyahu is victorious. It's not he who is victorious, Hashem is victorious, but it is pitting Chizkiyahu against Sanherib. What power did Chizkiyahu have that defeated Sanherib? So the Gemara tells us that in the days of Chizkiyahu, there was not a man or a woman or a child who did not know the laws of Tumah and Tara. Even the intricate laws of Tumah and Tara, everybody knew it. There was no such thing as an Am Haaretz, as a person who was unlearned. Everybody knew everything they needed to know. There was no ignorance amongst the Jewish people. The Torah was paramount, and it was learned b'hasmada rabba with great effort and great without letting up, without stopping. The Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech took a sword and put it in the door of the Beis Medrash, and he said, "Whoever does not go learn this gets this. If you don't learn, you get the sword." He made it a fundamental tenet of his kingdom that every Jew shall be learning Torah. Obviously, there's a difference between the men learn Torah, the women learn Torah, the children learn Torah, each one according to the way they're supposed to learn. But the point is that whatever portion of Torah you were supposed to do, you did in his day. There were no excuses, there were no exceptions, there was no laziness. You did what you were supposed to do. You learned. Whoever was supposed to learn, learned whatever they were supposed to learn. and therefore there was no ignorance. The Gemara tells us it is the Shemen Zayis, the olive oil of Chizkiyahu, that defeated the armies of Sancheirib. What do you mean the olive oil? The midnight oil that was burning, that people were learning Torah at night, defeated the armies of Chizkiyahu. When we discuss and we say that the Torah protects us Jews, and that when Torah is learned properly, then there is no need for weapons, this is the source for that. This is the example for that. Now, of course, you cannot rely on this. You have to have armies, and you have to have weapons, because we cannot rely on miracles. But Chizkiyahu had no choice. They had no army to speak of. They had no weapons to speak of. They were not just outnumbered. There was no room at all for them to imagine defeating the army of Sancheirib. And therefore, it is the learning of Torah that defeated Sancheirib, because it was impossible for it to happen any other way. Yes?
A long time ago, I heard Rabbi Alon say that there were only 70 years when people kept Shemitah properly in the land of Israel. Was that during this time?
During this time, they were tzaddikim. This is not the only time they were tzaddikim. There were more than 70 years. No, there were more than 70 years. He may have meant there were 70 Shemitahs that were kept properly.
Oh.
May have meant that. There were more than years. There is a cheshbon that is made over the years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, that during the time of the evil kings, there were 70 Shemitahs and Yovels that were not kept properly. And that's why Galus Bavel was 70 years. But that's only counting the years that there were evil kings. When there were righteous kings, they kept Shemitah and Yovel properly. Now, we have a great deal of background that is happening here that we need to cover. I'm going to cover a small piece tonight, but I want to give you at least an overview of some of the things which are taking place, which we have not seen in the Psukim. We will see some of it in the Psukim, but the chronology of how it happens is a little choppy, and I want to make it clear over here. When Sancheirib comes to Yerushalayim with his huge army, he arrives on Erev Pesach. He arrives the night of on the 14th of Nisan, on Erev Pesach. That's when he gets there. Now, they knew he was coming. They didn't know exactly when he would get there, but they knew he was on the way. He arrives on Erev Pesach. When he gets on Erev Pesach, he says to his... He gets there like towards the late evening, and he tells his army, take a rest. Tomorrow morning, we'll destroy the city. And that's the most fatal instructions that he ever gave. Because by waiting, then the night of Pesach comes, and he is wiped out. Prior to Sancheirib arriving in Yerushalayim, or near Yerushalayim, as we're going to learn in Perek Chaf, Chizkiyahu becomes sick to the point that he's going to die. So we have to learn about that. Why does Chizkiyahu become sick, that he's going to die? What could he possibly have done? So there's something which has to be understood. How does Chizkiyahu recover? What is the relationship between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu? Remember, they are cousins. Yeshayahu is from the royal household. He's older than Chizkiyahu, but he is nevertheless, they are related to each other. But how do they interact with each other? That's a very important piece of what happens here in the whole story of Sancheirib. Why does this whole thing have to happen in the way that it happens? And as we said, why is it that Chizkiyahu in the end does not become Mashiach? the whole concept of the Limud HaTorah of Chizkiyahu, we have to also explore that and show how it fits into the whole story. And of course, as we mentioned already, the connection between Avram Avinu, Chizkiyahu, and the eventual war of Gog and Magog. The piece we're going to cover this evening, there's still a lot more of it than that, but the piece we're going to cover this evening is that when Sancheirev came, why did he come on Erev Pesach? What caused him to come on Erev Pesach? So the Navi tells us, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara says that Sancheirev was told by his stargazers that if he is to attack Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan, he will be successful and destroy Yerushalayim. That's the day that he can be successful. He can be successful on the 14th of Nisan. The problem is, he was told this on the 13th of Nisan, which gave him a total of one day to get to Yerushalayim. The Gemara says it was a 10-day journey for him with his massive army to get to Yerushalayim. Imagine the logistics of transporting so many people. It's not simple. And the Gemara says that he quickly got all of his officers moving, and he made them move at top speed, and they covered a distance of 10 days in one day. And they got to Yerushalayim within the 14th of Nisan, within a little bit of time before the sun set on the 14th of Nisan. And where did he get to? He got to a little hamlet right outside Yerushalayim, the infamous city or town of Nov. That's where he got to. He got to Nov. And the Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, it is the Haftorah for the 8th day of Pesach, but the Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, it's in Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of Yeshayahu. Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Beis, chapter 10, verse 32. Od Hayom Binov Lamod. It was still daytime, and he got to Nov. That Sancheirev got to Nov while it was still daytime. When he got there, says the Gemara, Hashem made a nes. Why did he make a nes? Because of the Torah of Chizkiyahu. The Torah of Chizkiyahu caused Hashem to make a nes, and the nes was that Sancheirev looked at Yerushalayim from Nov, and he said, For this little, inconsequential, weak city, I ran all this way? That's why I came here? You know, Feif Yado Harbas Tzion Givas Yerushalayim. He waved his hand against the mountain of Tzion, of Yerushalayim. And he said to his soldiers, forget it. Just take a rest. Tomorrow morning, all we have to do is every one of you pick up a hammer and bang once on the wall. I have so many soldiers, that'll decimate the wall and the place will be ours. That's all you have to do. So it is because of the Torah of Chizkiyahu that Hashem caused it, that even though Sancheirev got there in time to destroy Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan, and he would have been successful, as his stargazer said, but Hashem caused that it wouldn't happen because of the Torah of Chizkiyahu, and therefore Sancheirev did not attack. He waited too long, and that night his entire army is destroyed. Millions of people cut down in the middle of the night.
Why would he have been successful?
So that's the question.
And why wasn't it a nace that somebody moves 10 days worth in one?
That was also a nace. That was also a nace.
But why give a nace on that hand so you have to do a nace on the other? Like, just
good.
Don't do the first nace.
Right. Okay. So why would he have been successful on the 14th of Nisan to destroy Yerushalayim, which is what the Gemara tells us? So the Gemara says, because of the sin of killing Nov, the city of the Kohanim. That's why it's in Nov that he comes. Sancheirev's ability to nearly defeat Yerushalayim comes from the destruction of the city of Nov. As we've talked about many times, the destruction of the city of Nov is one of the most horrific sins that ever took place in the history of the world. And that destruction of Nov enabled there to be some room for punishment. And had Sancheirib attacked on the 14th of Nisan, then he would have been successful. But he waited too long, and the Torah of Chizkiyahu defeated Sancheirib. Which means that the Torah of Chizkiyahu managed to finally correct the sin of Nov. Meaning, the destruction that took place because of Nov was finally corrected. The tikkun finally happened through the Torah of Chizkiyahu. Now, yeah, we have to understand that, because Nov was the loss of Kohanim. Chizkiyahu is not Kohanim. Chizkiyahu is Torah. The Aruch Laner, one of the Mefarshim of the Gemara, says, why is it that if Sancheirib would have attacked on the 14th of Nisan, he would have been successful? I understand we have the sin of the city of destroying the city of Nov. I get it. Why the 14th of Nisan? It seems like it's dependent on the date. But why? So he says an amazing thing. He says the following. Nov had most of the Kohanim lived in Nov. When Nov was killed out, it means that there were now very few Kohanim in the world. We know that during most of the year, the Beis HaMikdash can function with a small group of Kohanim running the show. But the one time of year where you cannot run the Beis HaMikdash without a very, very large staff of Kohanim is Erev Pesach. Because you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of karbonos that have to be processed all in the span of a few hours in the afternoon. And when Noah was killed out, there were not enough Kohanim, not nearly enough Kohanim, to process all those karbonos. Says the Aruch HaNer, when that happened, many, many, many karbonos Pesach were not offered. Not because the people didn't bring them, they did bring them, but there were not enough Kohanim to process them. And therefore, many karbonos Pesach went unbrought. And you can't make it up. Once it's not brought, it's not brought. Pesach Sheni is for someone who is Tameh on the night of Pesach. If someone is there with a karbon, they don't necessarily get Pesach Sheni. And even with Pesach Sheni, you still have a skeletal crew of Kohanim. Not enough to process. And therefore, many, many karbonos were not brought. Which means that the loss of the Kohanim meant a loss of the proper observance of Pesach. Pesach has been compromised because of the loss of Kohanim. Says the Aruch HaNer, that dearth of Kohanim went on for many years because it took a long time for the Kohanim to replenish themselves. They didn't replenish themselves in one year. It took time, and it took much time. And then over much time, over many generations, they finally replenished themselves. Says the Aruch HaNer, even in the day of Chizkiyahu, they were still short. Wow. That's how long it took for the Kohanim to replenish themselves, to get to a point where they could properly process all of the karbonos of Erev Pesach. So, says the Aruch HaNer, that's why the 14th of Nisan was the time that had he attacked, he would have been successful. Because that's when the sin of the destruction of Nov really was felt. That's when it made a difference. The kitrug, the accusation from heaven, came forth on the 14th of Nisan. With this story, we finally have the correction for the sin then there are enough Kohanim, and from here on in, it's not a problem anymore. There are enough Kohanim to process all their Karbanos. But, and we're going to find later that there's going to be a special Karban Pesach brought, as we already had in days of Chizkiyo, there was a special Karban Pesach. We're going to have again later in days of Yoshio, a special Karban Pesach brought. Which means the destruction of Nov was, of course, the destruction of Kohanim. Destruction of Kohanim meant a compromising, particularly of the Yontif of Pesach. That's the Yontif that was impacted the most, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Getting out of Mitzrayim, with properly observing Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is us becoming Klal Yisrael, that was compromised because of the destruction of Nov. With the Limud of Torah of Chizkiyahu, there finally is a correction for that. And that will trigger the bringing of Mashiach. Meaning, B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Asidin Lihigoyal, in Nisan we got out of Mitzrayim, in Nisan we will be redeemed in the future. That was going to happen here with Chizkiyahu and with Gog Umagog, meaning Sancheriv. Sancheriv being defeated would have not only been the defeat of Sancheriv, it also was the correction of the sin of the destruction of Nov, and finally putting Pesach back where it belongs, making Pesach what it should be. So in properly observing the Geula of Mitzrayim, that would trigger the Geula, the redemption, Ha'asida, the future redemption, the ultimate redemption of the coming of Mashiach. And all of that comes through the learning of Torah. Because we're not dealing simply, even though it's not simple, we're not dealing only with the loss of Kohanim. We're dealing with the entire picture of connecting us to Yetzias Mitzrayim and therefore bringing about the coming of Mashiach. As you know, the step after Mitzrayim is Kabbalas HaTorah. Getting out of Mitzrayim was only in order to receive the Torah. That's the whole point of getting out of Mitzrayim. We didn't get out for any other reason. And that's why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vizela Chahaos, this is the sign. Getting out of Mitzrayim triggers getting the Torah. They go together. There is no way without the other. Which is why that language is invoked over here. Because the Navi is trying to draw our attention to that story of Moshe and the burning bush. Here as well, Hashem is saying to Chizkiyahu, I can't save you and then give you no food to eat. Then what do I save you for? So if I drive off Sancheriv, I'm going to give you food. If I take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to give you the Torah, because there's no point one without the other. Therefore, it is the Limud HaTorah of Chizkiyahu which reinstates Pesach, which reinstates the connection to Geula, which then can bring about Mashiach. That's the general approach. Now, there's still many, many more details, including an absolutely wild description for the ultimate demise of Sancheriv, which I don't even want to mention it to you before we have a chance to talk about it, because it is so wild, it defies really almost anything else you'll ever hear in learning Tanakh. So we're going to save that. So we've put some pieces on the table. We've put the Torah, we've put Nov, we put Sancheriv, we put Mitzrayim, we put the Teva, which we haven't discussed how that works yet, and Purim, right?
Put some pieces on the table.
And David HaMelech, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more there. We have the sickness of Chizkiyahu. We're going to get to a lot more. So we're just starting to scratch the surface of here. We have a lot more to do.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.